no one stays the same, right? And you grow and you hope that the growth of you as an individual, you know, also means that you can bring along, you know, your friends, those who have been there with you the entire time. Welcome to Dear Culture, the podcast that gives you news you can trust for the culture. I'm Shauna Pinnock, social media director at The Griot.
And I'm Blue Chalusma, senior writer at The Griot. This week we're asking, Dear Culture, how do we assess if our friends are really good for us?
So here on Dear Culture, we talk about the news, obviously, but we also have to talk about the culture, right? If you dabble in Black Twitter on Sundays, you're very familiar with Insecure. This is what we're going to talk about this week.
For anyone unfamiliar and living under a rock, Insecure was created by and stars writer and comedian Issa Rae. It centers on the love lives and the friendships of her character and her best friend, Molly. Played by Yvonne Orji, who we love and who you'll be hearing from later in this episode.
I'm on this forward path. I'm focused. It's like no job. No man. All of this sounds bad, but it's actually really good. It's good vibes on.
That's right. You know, I don't really care too much for Molly right now, but we'll get to that later. For much of the series, Issa and Molly's friendship has sort of been a given. I think it especially hits for me, and maybe for you too, Blue. Don't let me speak for you. But, you know, as a chocolate girl, seeing two beautiful, dark-skinned Black women in the lead of the show has been pretty refreshing. And when you really think about it, shows like Living Single and Girlfriends were the predecessors to a show like Insecure. But as great as they were sitcoms, right? Which by nature prevents long stretches of character development.
Exactly. That's why Insecure feels a little different. We've seen Molly and Issa grow and change over the last four seasons for better and definitely for worse.
Especially this season. Their friendship has been the rock of the series, but in the current season, we've seen that rock start to crumble a little bit.
More than a little bit, actually.
And matter of fact, Blue, why don't you give, you know, the folks at home just a little recap of what's been happening this season?
So Molly and Issa are two besties, and like most friendships, they have their archetypes. Issa is the more artistic, free-spirited one who's still finding her way, and Molly is a type A kind of lawyer character who is on the straight and narrow. However, this season, we see Issa finally get her stuff together, and by her changing, it eventually ends up changing the dynamic of their friendship.
Yeah, and I think we can, you know, definitely speak to the fact that Molly is like actually in a relationship this season. You know, we've seen her struggle with that quite a bit. And I'll put it this way. We've seen when, you know, when your girl gets into a relationship with a new boo and all of a sudden she done changed up a little bit. Yeah, this is kind of what's happening. But
you're being nice, Shauna. I'm gonna be honest. You're being very nice. I don't think this is boo related. Like, I love Asian Bae, and we'll get into him later because I'm team him. But what I found really interesting about this season in particular is how two people can be so aware of how they've been slighted, they don't see anything from the other person's perspective. It seems like Issa's in her bubble and Molly's in her bubble, and neither one of them can see outside of their bubbles.
This is really, really true. And I think that's what's so amazing about the show and why, you know, you have all these people, again, jumping on Black Twitter to, you know, either drag the hell out of Molly or Issa. But I think what the show does really well is place its characters in situations that feel almost painfully and trigger warning realistic. And it kind of begs you to, you know, project your own personal experiences onto it.
And that's exactly what we're about to do right now. Shauna, what has it felt like watching this season? Be very honest, because I know you were triggered.
Well, you know, I think that really just leads to the question of, you know, have you ever experienced a friendship breakup? And the problem is I have. You know, for me, my personal experience was I had a best friend from college. You know, we were, 10, 11 years into our friendship. We went on a trip to Dubai. Everybody remembers that, you know, random flight glitch trip.
And it was like $200 to go to Dubai. Yeah, I remember.
Round trip. It was great. I also was just, you know, kind of just dealing with my own personal stuff. And it kind of put a minor rift into our friendship. And, you know, which I thought had been resolved by the time of the trip. And, you know, we went on the trip, had this great experience together. We came back to the United States. So I'm in New York. She's in Atlanta. And about a week had passed and I had been texting her for maybe 4 or 5 days and she would not respond to any of my text messages until I finally just sent her a text that was like, yo, if I don't hear from you in the next 24 hours, I'm calling your mom. Like, I need to make sure that you're okay. And she responded back, yeah, I'm good. You know, stuff is just, you know, just been thinking about stuff. And me as a friend, I'm thinking, oh, crap, did she like break up with her dude? Is there something going on with work? Is there something going on with her family? And so I'm inquiring and she responds back, you know, I'm just questioning our friendship. So record scratch, you know, to which I kind of responded back to her of, well, I don't know where this is coming from, but, you know, if you don't talk to me, then we can't resolve it. I can't apologize if I've done something wrong if I don't know what that is. Like, you're not speaking to me. With a person like me, the worst thing that you can do is let me marinate on a situation. If you are my friend and we can't get to the point where you can speak to me about if I've done something to you, if I've hurt you and or anything like that, and you're not even giving me the opportunity to fix it, then what are we actually doing? So by the time when she felt ready to speak, I no longer cared to listen. So that led to the disintegration of our friendship. You know, and
did you ever find out her reasoning? And was it a good reason, whatever the original reason was?
To this day, 5 years later, I do not know what her reasoning was. I have no ill will towards it. We actually saw each other a few years ago at homecoming. We hugged. You know, I had a teary moment because I genuinely miss my friend, but in all honesty, how I process breakups is, and breakups, and I mean breakups of friendship, breakups of romantic relationships, breakups from family, because that happens too. How I process that is basically you're dead to me. You're a ghost. And
I'm, oh my God.
I don't speak to spirits. So,
you know what? So Shonda and I are coming this from two different extremes. She's like, baptism by fire. We could all die tonight. Okay, got it. my approach is actually, I have the extreme opposite problem. I am a very direct communicator and I don't do like reading between the lines. Like if I say something and you're trying to figure out what I meant exactly what I said. Like I'm a very literal girl, right? Mm-hmm. And because I'm so direct and because I do all this work around emotional intelligence and, you know, like clear communication, I've had several friends tell me that it's a little bit challenging being my friend because it's like being friends with your therapist, right? One thing that happened recently was I had this one friend. She's deeply problematic. Imagine being like a social justice activist and being friends with like a proud Republican.
Oh, that's
yeah. That's how different our friendships were. And people would come up to me like, how do you work at the Griot and do social advocacy and you're friends with this person? And I was like, well, number one, I love her. Like if something was to happen to me right now, she'd be the first one to come and pick me up and take me to the hospital, right? So her being a ride or die immediately spoke to my heart. And number two, I thought we had the kind of friendship where I could call her out on her stuff when she was being problematic. Mm-hmm. Like I was the one friend who would tell her when she was being problematic. So in my mind, we had this great friendship where if you say something that most people would cringe at, I'm the one friend who will pull you aside and explain to you why it's cringeworthy. I thought we agreed that was how we were going to go. Did not know she was secretly resenting me the whole time. Like she was just secretly keeping track of every time I told her, hey, actually, I don't agree with Ben Carson. Hey, actually, you shouldn't call people broke N-words considering you were broke before you had your business. You know what I mean? Like just obvious things. And I actually had to pull back and say, I'm actually not getting anything from this friendship. Mm. And I felt like I was pouring into someone and clapping for someone who wasn't pouring back. And who wasn't clapping back. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why I think this insecure season has triggered a lot of open-hearted friends like me and probably like you too, because it's like, damn, Issa finally is doing well in life and all she wants is for her friend to clap for her. Mm-hmm. Instead of clapping for her, she's like, but you know you weren't shit up until 2 minutes ago, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, that's the wrong reaction to me doing well.
No, and I think, you know, especially when you think about just unpacking the season and hell, even up to, you know, this past week's episode, this past Sunday's episode with, you know, Molly saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, well, that's just Issa being messy. So that tracks. Girl, what? I think it's no one stays the same, right? Mm-hmm. And you grow and you hope that the growth of you as an individual, you know, also means that you can bring along, you know, your friends, those who have been there with you the entire time. But I think what has been so triggering to watch is just these levels of toxicity. And let's be very clear. Issa's not blameless in this disintegration of their friendship. You know, it kind of almost feels like they're both doing the same thing of, you know, Molly's trying to grow and be actually ready for a relationship. And she was trying to express certain things of like, yo, Andrew doesn't, you know, Andrew doesn't open up. Andrew doesn't talk. He's kind of closed off about this. And you have Issa hitting her with this shady, you know, oh, you're going to chase him off again, girl, like you always do. And, you know, then you have on the other side, Issa has grown from her ghost bay situation. Kendrick, you are so fine. But her ghost bay situation. And, you know, she has a cool relationship with Lawrence. And it's, oh, well, Issa's just always messy. And it's like, do y'all not even recognize the growth that you are doing? Not just individually, but do you not recognize the growth that your friend is doing? Why do you keep trying to put your friend in this same box? You know, and it's so, I think it's so toxic. And I think
it's actually also very lazy. I think what you described is, we mentioned earlier, there's two archetypes, right? A lot of us get lazy and we call our friend that thing. Like, oh, Shauna's going to be the spicy friend, or Blue's going to be the girl who always wants therapy, or so-and-so's going to be the messy friend. The other person's going to be the friend who always got it. I think they got lazy and put each other in these really safe boxes. And when they both grew out of their boxes, neither one of them was willing to recognize that sometimes a complete stranger can see you more clearly than your friend who's known you forever, because your friend who's known you forever is still remembering who you were when you met in junior high and not who you are now. Which kind of brings us to the next question. Do you ever feel like you were in a relationship where you were the toxic person? Because neither Issa or Molly can recognize that they're both being toxic to varying degrees.
I definitely had that. I definitely had that. And it's not an easy thing to recognize, and it's not an easy thing to admit. Like, it's first off, once you recognize it, that's fine, but admitting it and then making amends for it.
I think for me, my toxic trait that I've had to acknowledge is I didn't always clearly state what I considered to be betrayal. Like, you ever have a friend who you think you're real loyal to, and then it's their turn to be loyal and you're like, what just happened? And I realized that my sense of loyalty, I'm a Taurus, you know, we're really big on loyalty. My sense of loyalty was a lot more heightened than other people. And so I had to be more explicit with people about what I considered a deal breaker or not. Because what I was doing is I would do something that I thought was right. They would do something else. And I'd be like, oh, you're a horrible person. Our friendship's over. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, Blue, you kind of have to tell them where your lines are, because not everybody has the same boundaries that you have. And it's actually really toxic to tell someone they've crossed the line after they've crossed it and you've like deleted their number from their from your phone. So I had to start being a lot more vocal about what I need and what I want, because I think expecting people to read your minds is big. There's no bigger gift in this world than having someone misread your intentions, and then watching how that one misread emboldens them to create a whole story about you that's not true because of that initial miscommunication. Watching people misunderstand me and run with it and be completely wrong, like not even close to the truth, has cured me of assumption. I've had so many people be wrong about me that it's made me not want to return the favor. So now I realize I no longer assume. And I think a lot of what we saw with Issa and Molly is they both jumped to really glaring conclusions and assumptions about each other's intentions.
And I think, wow, that's so crazy. Because then it's like, when people are retelling the story, right? No one is ever the villain in their own story. Which, you know, even taking a second back and looking at like Molly from this past episode, like, Molly tell, you know, Andrew's like, oh, well, are you, you know, heard that you saw Issa, and, you know, she ran away from you like it was a, like you were a job, but which girl, but, you know, did you talk to her? Did anything happen? And Molly saying, no, it's her fault. It's all, you know, complicated and messy, I guess.
And I'm gonna be honest, I think Molly's more wrong than Issa. Because in the power structure, let's be honest, right? Not all friends are created equal. Shauna, you know when you're the messy friend and someone's the friend who has their stuff together. Mm-hmm. You know when you're the friend who has their stuff together and the other person is like going through a bad point. When you are the type A friend who's in a higher space in life, when you judge, it hits a little bit harder. Because that friend is trying to get to where you're at, and it's almost like you're swatting them down as they're trying to ascend. And so for me, it just makes me upset that Molly has always been on paper in a good space, even though her relationships were trash. Mm-hmm. And now that Issa's starting to look good on paper, Molly can't even let her hit her base level.
You know, it's just so interesting to watch that dynamic. For me, it's been, you know, recognizing just my needs and my boundaries and being able to communicate that to my friends, as well as just overall not being afraid of conflict. You know, I think that's what we've been seeing with Issa and Molly. They've been so afraid of conflict that all it's been doing is just bubbling and boiling until it went and blew up at the block party. And no, you never want to go that far.
So I mentioned earlier that my list was full transparency, no gossip, and judgment-free zone. If you had to like rattle off your three non-negotiables that lets you know if someone cannot pull this off, we probably shouldn't be friends, what would it be?
Judgment-free, not holding on to stuff. I prefer complete transparency. And finally, being able to humble oneself to own up to one shit. You know, it's not easy for me to say when I'm in the wrong. I know it's not, but mm-hmm. I will if I find that a friendship is worth me doing so. And it's important for me to have someone else be in that same space. Like, if you've done me wrong, I will forgive you instantly if I get a real genuine apology, number one, and number two, change behavior. And I hope that you would see the same for me. If I'm not getting that, then we're not equally yoked. We can't last.
And I think that like there's a level of knowing your friend's heart that creates grace. Mm-hmm. And I often, you know, I'm very direct as well. I mean, I can be accountable. So I often ask my friends, like, please know my heart. If I talk to you crazy, please know that I just was saying what I meant and I didn't really mean it in that way. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish that Molly and Issa gave each other that same grace. Like, she said it wrong, but I know her heart, right? Mm. And you would think after all these years, they would be at that place. So the question is, our final question for this conversation is, do you think Molly and Issa should make up based on what we've seen so far in these last couple of episodes?
I think they should eventually. I do not believe that they should right now. There's still too much unpacking and too much, you know, self-realization and self-actualization that needs to happen on both of their parts. Maybe they just need a break and then they could come back together later. Like, and it'll feel like it'll feel like a brand new friendship, but also something that's very familiar. But I'm personally, if they don't make up by the end of the season, I wouldn't be surprised.
And my answer is, I think it would be irresponsible for them to make up this season. Because like you, the level of unpacking, it would take all of next season just to unpack. right? And so if I hear anything about them being friends before season, like the end of season 5, beginning of season 6, I'm claiming that for their team. If I hear anything about them becoming friends anytime within the next year, I'm going to call BS on that, unless they do one of those time warps where they jump ahead 5 years.
you know, Blue, I have loved this conversation. And, you know, honestly, I feel like low key, we did a good job. Like, we almost were on our insecurity tip, you know, shout out to you. And hey, friend, hey, you know, we trying to get y'all like y'all, sis, like.
We coming for y'all insecurity. No, we love insecurity.
This was great.
And we're super lucky today because not only Are we having this conversation about the series we both love? We actually have one of the show's stars joining us.
Yes, our entertainment director, Courtney Wills, sat down with Yvonne Orji, who plays Molly, because they are two different people, guys.
They
Yvonne
are.
And asked about this season, friendship, and life. Hey, Courtney.
Hey, Court.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're riled up because we've been talking about Insecure and we're both in our feelings about Molly, who, again, yes, is not the same as Yvonne Orji. So how did it feel talking to her, considering her character is being so highlighted this season?
It was perfect timing. I mean, I had a ton of questions about how she feels, you know, Molly is doing this season.
All right, let's take a listen, guys.
What advice would you as Yvonne give Molly right now, particularly where it comes to, you know, where she is with Issa and how Molly's handling herself? What would you tell her?
I would say find your words and use your words. Because I think really the thing that causes so much hurt and so much confusion is when you're not... when you know there's a problem, but you don't know how to say what the problem is. Like, even when they're in the grocery store, it's like, I feel like you've been coming for me. It's like, that's what they said, but it's like, what they mean is probably like, I feel like we're growing up, like, I feel like something's not right. I feel like everything with us feels contentious. I feel like I can't be myself around you. Like, I feel like it's like there are more words that need to be found and ultimately used. And it's like they don't have it right now. And I think that's what's causing so much upheaval is because it's like, I don't know how to express what I'm feeling, and I shouldn't be feeling this with you, of all people, because you've always been the one that I didn't have to have these feelings with. So this is awkward, and this is new, and I don't know what to do with it. But they don't know how to say that.
I had even more questions about this HBO special that she's gearing up for.
Oh, yeah. She's also a stand-up comedian. I totally forgot about that. But, like, it makes sense because Insecure, everybody on that show is kind of funny, whether they're trying to be or not. What does she have to say, Court?
I mean, she is so excited about this special, and she should be really proud of it. I think it's a huge deal that we're going to get to see Yvonne Orji like we've never seen her before. I mean, some people have followed her comedy over the years, but this will be most people's kind of introduction to her in this lane, and she's completely owning it. We get to see her hometown in Nigeria. We meet her parents, her family, and she really kind of walks us through what it's been like to navigate life as a Nigerian American and those kind of unique ways that she was raised to be the woman she is now. So as you guys mentioned, Yvonne Orji and Molly are not the same person. And luckily, Yvonne isn't as messy as Molly is in real life. Here's what she had to say about what's important to keeping lasting friendships in real life.
You know, we got to see a few of your friends in the stand-up special, and it looked like you guys, you know, really had your guard down or really, you know, could really relate to each other. Like, what would you say is the key ingredient to, like, a, you know, a long-lasting friendship in real life?
Honesty and open communication and providing a safe space to fully being all of who you are, in the good and in the bad and in the uncertain. I think my two best friends were able to unashamedly, unabashedly be as wrong and as right and as in between as possible. You know, it's just like, okay, this happened for certain. I don't have to beat you up about it. You know what it is. How do we move on from this? You know, it's just like, all right, you know, like that's what really friendship is able to be who you are most of the time and not judge like a bad episode or a bad scenario as an overarching and paint that as an overarching theme of your entire life. It's just like, okay, cool. You know, and I think what people need is grace. I think those are the ingredients of friendship. Grace, humor, respect, love and care. You know, people need to know that, like, you got their back. And, you know, you love them even in spite of themselves.
So I've already gotten to see Yvonne Orji's debut comedy special on HBO, Mama, I Made It, and it's definitely worth a watch. She takes us back to Nigeria, lets us meet her family, and she filmed the stand-up special at Howard University because that's where her mom worked as a nurse for decades as she was growing up. It's super special, super cool to see, and it premieres Saturday, June 6th on HBO.
As always, we want to remind our listeners to show love to your local Black businesses and donate to your local organizations and religious institutions.
And in that vein, this week we want to highlight The Volta, retails apparel, accessories, and apothecary from a curated list of brands ethically sourced from Haiti, Puerto Rico, Ghana, and South Africa.
The Griot has published a list of 50-plus Black businesses to support during the coronavirus pandemic, and if you would like your business to be featured, please email us at info@thegriot.com. That's info@thegriot.com.
Thank you for listening to Dear Culture. If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast and share it with everyone you know.
Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcast@thegriot.com. The Dear Culture podcast is brought to you by The Griot and executive produced by Natasha S. Alford, Rob Dozier, and Kevin Y. Brown.